Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul. I didn't see you guys up here. Welcome home. Yeah, we're talking about welcoming today. It's very appropriate. Matt, welcome. And our other new members coming in, welcome. And all of you guys, any guests we have today, welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. This is kind of a season of welcoming. This is a season where we have all this imagery of welcoming. Every Hallmark Christmas movie that was ever made is about a welcome. Somebody who was estranged, who is now brought close. Somebody who, you know, the person who went away from the small town and went to the big city, and now they're back, and then they're welcomed back home. Or the images of the fireplace and the family, and we all come and gather once again, and we're welcomed. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. Unfortunately, this text is not at all what I thought it would be. You know, I picked like a month and a half, 2 months ago, picked where I thought it was going to go, and it was going to be this simple Lutheran kind of a thing of, we are supposed to welcome one another, but really we don't, and we're not very good at that, and we're divided. But Jesus welcomes us. Amen. Yeah, but it's harder than that. And this is really a sermon that should be a Bible study, because it's kind of nuanced. There's hard stuff going on here. There's contradictory things. In Romans 14, 15, 16, Paul says, welcome everybody. He says, all your worries about, you know, being right. He says, take a chill pill. It's like a Greek term, chill pill. But at the same time, he says, in chapter 16, look out for those who are not teaching according to the truth. And separate from those people. How do we reconcile this? The strong and the weak. The strong and the weak. He's talking about beginning of this chapter, Romans 15. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Who are the strong and the weak? I remember I thought a lot about strong and weak. I've told you before, my littlest brothers say that I am a weenie arm. That's their term for me, weenie arm. Because they were the only athletes in the family. I remembered middle school gym class. Remember, you go into the locker room and you change into your shorts and t-shirt in the wintertime, and you go in the gymnasium, which they never used to heat very much, and you stand in a line, and there's going to be some sort of a strength test. And for some of you, this was, yeah, I'm going to run the fastest. And we do wind sprints back and forth and back and forth. And there were two or three of you who were like competing for who's going to be the fastest in the class. And then the rest of us were, were you strong or weak? You all knew who was strong and who was weak. Or you go to the bank and you're going to meet with a loan officer. And for some of you, this is no sweat. You're gonna show your bank account and your investments and your credit history and your down payment that you've got. And of course they're gonna give you a mortgage. And for others of us, it's, we really like this house, and I know it's kind of a stretch, and we've had these problems in the past, but we're paid up now. But there's, are you strong or are you weak? There's all different kinds of strong and weak, aren't there? There's all different kinds of strength and weakness, but Paul is not talking about those. When I first read this text, you know, the first thing we think of is that you who are strong should bear with those who are weak. It's our charity. We who are, you know, doing okay, and we go to the caring tree and we take a tag for some poor soul. We're going to give them a Christmas gift. Because the strong, they help out the weak. But Paul says there's other kinds of weak. And these kinds of weak, sometimes we're not so understanding of or patient with. You flip to chapter 14, and what's he saying? As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. And then he goes on, he's talking about an issue going on among them of food. Oh my goodness, food? Well, that's not a big deal, is it? And yet it is. It's something that's dividing the church, the Jewish church and the Gentile church. And the Gentile church and the Gentile church, I mean ordinary Gentiles, and then those who are coming from actual active worship of false gods, all these differing customs and opinions, and food was a major part of that. And so it matters. What you eat says something about what you believe, doesn't it? And so Paul says, who are the weak ones? The weak ones are actually, in chapter 14, it's those who were the most religious in the Jewish faith who said, I can only eat vegetables. I'm like Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I'm only going to eat vegetables. Paul says, why are they weak? Not because of only eating vegetables. I'd like to think that. Now, why are they weak? Because they're laboring under this false idea that somehow they can work to please God by the foods they eat. Paul says plainly, he says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. I can eat this meat. And in fact, I can even eat meat that was offered in a temple to an idol. Now it's being sold in the marketplace. Because I know the idol isn't anything. That this doesn't determine my spiritual destiny, the food that I eat. But he says, this other person doesn't know that. And so your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law that comes for Christmas, I gotta fix this special stuff because she won't eat the stuff that the rest of us eat. And you are going to fix them. And so you're going to send them an article you found on the internet that is just the thing and it's going to correct them. Paul says, it's another special Greek term in the Bible, shut up. Just get over it. He says, bear with the failings of the weak. Not to please yourself. When we talk about bearing with somebody, well, I bear with lots of people. Oh, here he goes again. He's going to tell that same story. But that's not the kind of bearing with Paul is talking about. He's talking about carrying other people's burdens because they're weak. You know, the burden in this case, this eating this special diet because you think you have to in order to be saved, that's a burden to bear. And frankly, well, if you believe that, okay. Paul says, if you're going to bear somebody else's burden, you're going to carry it too. Even when you know you don't need to, you're going to carry it too. To please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Because you see, I know that you are mature in your faith. And I know you're right. You've got the right idea. And surely your neighbor or your coworker or your friend is wrong, and boy, they need to be corrected. But Paul says, the one who is weak, what they need is not to be fixed. What they need is to be strengthened. They need to be strengthened. They need to be welcomed first. And as we're strengthened, then we grow together in the Word of God. And Christ corrects us, We talk about the word of God being useful for rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. We just love the rebuking part. But we become weak with those who are weak, that we may be strengthened with them as we all come to the word of God and learn and grow together. So Paul does not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that what is right or true is unimportant. Paul stresses that in the 16th chapter. He emphasizes that. Even here in 15, he says, where was I? He says that Christ became a servant to the circumcised in order to confirm the promises of the patriarchs. Christ himself became a servant to those that he was already talking about in chapter 14 as the weak, in order that he might confirm the truth of all of God's promises. But those people that he came for didn't all get it all right away. They didn't all understand instantly. But while they were still sinners, while they still had it wrong, while they were still had that bumper sticker on their car that was really offensive, or while they still were saying these dumb things on Facebook, Christ died for them. And Christ, it says, welcomed them. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. He welcomed the weak. He welcomed the incomplete. He welcomed the uncertain. So he calls us to do that and to grow together, to be weak for one another, that we may grow in faith. If you are weak, you came to the right place. If you believe, but Lord, help my unbelief, you are in the right place. If you believe and you know what's right, but you're really struggling to get your life in line with what you know it ought to be, welcome, you belong here. If you love the certainty that we have from God's word, but you yourself are struggling to be so certain, welcome. We desire you to be with us because we also struggle and we also sometimes are uncertain and we also have faith and doubt and we also are still learning and we know many things from God's word. We desire to share those also with you. But even if you're not there yet, welcome. We are weak with you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and we together may abound in hope. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up.